We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain.
Benjamin Franklin is our subject for a new season with Walter Isaacson.
He's the most successful self-made business person in America.
A printer, a scientist, founding father, but maybe not the guy we think we know.
Franklin casts his lot on the side of revolution, and it's another thing that splits the family apart.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you feel about biscuits? Hi, I'm Akilah Hughes, and I'm so excited about my new podcast, Rebel Spirit, where I head back to my hometown in Kentucky and try to convince my high school to change their racist mascot, the Rebels, into something everyone in the South loves, the biscuits.
I was a lady rebel. Like, what does that even mean?
It's right here in black and white in print, so they lie.
Bigger than a flag or mascot.
Listen to Rebel Spirit on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's good? It's Colleen Witt, and Eating While Broke is back for Season 3, brought to you by the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. We're serving up some real stories and life lessons from people like Van Lathan, DC Youngfly, Bone Thugs and Harmony, and many more. They're sharing the dishes that got them through their struggles and the wisdom they gained along the way. We're cooking up something special, so tune in every Thursday. Listen to Eating While Broke on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Back in 1969, four young musicians from Texas were hired to impersonate the British psychedelic rock band The Zombies. It was one of the most bizarre and audacious cons in rock and roll history. And now, the entire story has been uncovered in a new podcast. All episodes are available now. Listen to the true story of the fake zombies on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search True Story of the Fake Zombies and start listening.
Kay hasn't heard from her sister in 7 years.
I have a proposal for you. Come up here and document my project. All you need to do is record everything like you always do.
What was that?
That was live audio of a woman's nightmare.
Can Kay trust her sister, or is history repeating itself?
There's nothing dangerous about what you're doing.
They're just dreams.
Dream Sequence is a new horror thriller from Blumhouse Television, iHeartRadio, and Realm. Listen to Dream Sequence on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, peeps, and welcome to Woke AF Daily with me, your girl, Danielle Moody, recording, pre-recording from the home bunker. Folks, we are off celebrating the Labor Day holiday, but as always, we leave you with fantastic interviews that we pre-recorded. And today, I am very happy to bring you kind of a follow-up to yesterday's interview with Nadia, with Shane Diamond. Shane is a consultant at GLAAD and spoke to us about the importance of their Here We Are campaign, which highlights trans people's stories and the fullness of who they are. Like I said yesterday, it is too often that whenever we're talking about trans people, we're talking about horrific policies that are being put out to dehumanize them. We're talking about the deaths of Black trans women. We're talking about their lives in terms of tragedy, as opposed to the fullness of who these people actually are. And we have to understand that narratives matter, right? Stories matter. And this is why this campaign is so important, and why I was so thankful for Shane and Nadia to stop by Woke AF to talk to us about the importance of sharing story and the importance of, you know, GLAAD as an organization and ensuring that people see full and complete narratives about queer people and not just what the right, wants people to see and rather wants people to be afraid of. So coming up next, my conversation with GLAAD consultant Shane Diamond. Folks, I am very happy to welcome to Woke AF Daily Shane Diamond, who is a consultant at GLAAD on transgender advocacy and have been a part of the Here We Are campaign. Shame, talk to us about GLAAD's decision to move into this space of telling trans stories from a trans perspective, like having people talk about themselves as opposed to being talked at.
That's a great question. And thank you for having me on the podcast. Big fan and really grateful to be part of this discussion with you today. So thank you. I've been consulting with GLAAD in this transgender advocacy position for about a year. And this project, this campaign called Here We Are, is part of a larger LGBTQ messaging project that GLAAD is undertaking, in part because our CEO and executive director, Sarah Kate Ellis, recognized that there's just a lack of positive trans stories and storytelling that is coming from trans people ourselves. And this campaign specifically has been a storytelling campaign. How does it look? What does it feel like when we put trans people in the driver's seat and let us tell our own stories? And B, it's been a research project to see if the way that we are telling these stories actually changes how people think about trans people.
I want you to tell me, there was a time, because I'm old, so I can say this. There was a time when I remember when folks would ask, how many of you know a person that is, and it was at the time, lesbian or gay or bisexual, and it was in the teens of percentage and number of people. Now, when you ask people, how many folks know somebody that is LGBTQ+, I believe it is in like the 80 or 90 percentile. What is that number for trans people specifically? Do you know, and how has it grown over the years?
I do know the answer to that, and it's a very interesting one.
Okay.
So GLAAD every year conducts a survey called Accelerating Acceptance to see where we are as a country in terms of LGBTQ acceptance. So some of the questions on this year's Accelerating Acceptance survey were about, like, what should we talk about in schools? Like, should kids have access to safe schools? And in 2023, we asked non-LGBTQ people how many of them knew someone who was transgender. And over 70% of participants said they did not know someone who is transgender. And I just like to sort of caveat that with, they don't know someone that's transgender that they know of. So because this is a podcast, I'm a white guy with some scruffy facial hair and a bad mustache, and I'm wearing like very hipster glasses and a buzz cut and two little gold earrings and like a button-down shirt with pineapples on it. And so if someone met me on the street, they might not assume that I'm transgender.
Right, right.
So I have the privilege of being assumed cisgender. And when I talk about cisgender, it is someone whose gender identity, who they know themselves to be on the inside, matches the sex they were assigned at birth. So if you see me on the street or on the sidewalk or at a coffee shop, you might not guess that I'm trans.
Right.
So when we say that 70%+ of Americans don't know someone that's transgender, it's always that they know of, because the reality is that trans people are here. We're in communities. We've been here. You know, we're holding down jobs. We're bagging groceries. We're trying to parallel park. We're having families. We're having kids. And it is still kind of surprising that so many people say they don't know someone who's transgender, given that we are in communities all over this country.
And I think that to that point, it is because of the fact that not everybody leads with their transness, right? Like, so if you are a person, like to your point, that is, and I'll use the term passing, right? Meaning that I would look and be like, okay, there's a guy in a pineapple shirt, as I think that most people would. If I'm not being told directly that then you are trans, I could understand, I guess, the numbers and how that kind of works. And I think there was a point in the Accelerating Acceptance of reporting throughout the years where I think that one of the questions was, do you know, have a LGBTQ person in your family? Which I think then becomes like a bit more specific, right? Because then I have intimate knowledge of said person as opposed to, do I know anyone, right, existing in the world? Why do you think that it is so important to have campaigns like this that expressly offer narrative around the different stories and the different ways in which people see themselves as trans?
Yeah. I want to back us up just for a hot second, because it's very common usage to say like someone is cis passing. And I said this in conversation with a colleague at GLAAD who called me in and corrected me around the history of passing as a term, and that we know the term passing is traditionally historically referred to light-skinned black people who are passing for white. And in this language, we are sort of, it becomes the goal, whiteness becomes the goal. It becomes the position of power. And so if we say someone is passing, is white passing, it is putting more power into white supremacy. And so as we talk about being cis passing, it makes it seem like the goal
is to
appearance, is being cis, and that cisgender inherently has more power and privilege and is thus desired by trans people.
And I appreciate that. Please continue.
Yeah, no, just, you know, it's like we live in a country right now where medical access for trans care is being banned. And so not every trans person is interested in seeking to medically transition. And even for those who are interested, they're unable to do so depending on where they live. So thinking more about being assumed to be cisgender.
Got it. Okay.
But that was something that passed on to me because I said all the time that I was cis passing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I get it.
If we look at some of the statistics and we see that over 70% of people say they don't know someone who's transgender, how do we make these introductions in a way that can do it on a large scale, can do it effectively, and can keep trans people safe in the process? Like, I know if you drop me in any room, give me 10, 15 minutes, like I can change people's minds on what they think about trans people or what it means to be transgender. Also, I'm tired. and like there's only one of me, thank goodness. And so how do we do this on a larger scale that also keeps trans people safe? And so much of what we've heard and seen about trans people historically is trans people who are playing like a tertiary character in a show, and it's a lot of dead sex workers and, you know, people who are addicted to drugs, and that's not the narrative for all trans people. And so how do we put trans people, as I said, in the driver's seat to tell their own stories and to tell their own stories of love and joy and happiness? And what effect does this have on people who are learning about trans people for the first time?
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain, but those experiments are the most important scientific discoveries of the time.
I'm Evan Ratliff. Last season, we tackled the ingenuity of Elon Musk with biographer Walter Isaacson. This time, we're diving into the story of Benjamin Franklin, another genius who's desperate to be dusted off from history.
His media empire makes him the most successful self-made business person in America. I mean, he was never early to bed and early to rise type person. He's enormously famous. Women start wearing their hair in what was called the coiffure a la Franklin.
And who's more relevant now than ever.
The only other person who could have possibly been the first president would have been Benjamin Franklin. But he's too old and wants Washington to do it.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you feel about biscuits? Hi, I'm Akilah Hughes, and I'm so excited about my new podcast, Rebel Spirit, where I head back to my hometown in Kentucky and try to convince my high school to change their racist mascot, the Rebels, into something everyone in the South loves, the biscuits.
I was a lady rebel. Like, what does that even mean?
I mean, the Boone County Rebels will stay the Boone County Rebels, but the image of...
It's right here in black and white in print. A lion.
An individual that came to the school saying that God sent him to talk to me about the mascot switch is a leader. You choose hills that you want to die on.
Why would we want to be the losing team? I just take all the other stuff out of it.
On segregation academies, when civil rights said that we need to integrate public schools, these charter schools were exempt from that.
Bigger than a flag or mascot.
You have to be ready for serious backlash.
Listen to Rebel Spirit on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is summer, and on NPR's Planet Money podcast, that means it is time to grab your notebooks and your headphones and tune in to the economics crash course for your ears. Planet Money Summer School is covering the economic history of the world, from the birth of money to the Industrial Revolution to modern trade policy. We've got the lessons to keep you sounding smart at the beach with help from real economic historians. Every Wednesday until Labor Day, listen to Planet Money from NPR on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everyone. I am Lacey Lamar.
And I'm Amber Ruffin, a better Lacey Lamar.
Boo.
Okay, everybody, we have exciting news to share. We're back with season two of the Amber and Lacey, Lacey and Amber show on Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network. You thought you had fun last season? Well, you were right. And you should tune in today for new fun segments like Sister Court and listening to Lacey's steamy DMs.
We've got new and exciting guests like Michael Beach, that's my husband, Daphne Spring, Daniel Thrasher, Peppermint, Morgan J, and more. You gotta watch us.
No, you mean you have to listen to us. I mean, you can still watch us, but you gotta listen. Like, if you're watching us, you have to tell us. Like, if you're out the window, you have to say, hey, I'm watching you outside of the window. Just, you know what? Listen to the Amber and Lacey, Lacey and Amber show on Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Señora Sex Ed is not your mommy's sex talk. This show is La Plática like you've never heard it before. We're breaking the stigma and silence around sex and sexuality in Latinx communities.
This podcast is an intergenerational conversation between Latinas from Gen X to Gen Z. We're covering everything from body image to representation in film and television. We even interview iconic Latinas like Puerto Rican actress Ana Ortiz.
I felt in control of my own physical body and my own self. I was on birth control. I had sort of had my first sexual experience.
If you're in your señora era or know someone who is, then this is the show for you.
We're your hosts, Diosa and Mala, and you might recognize us from our flagship podcast, Locatora Radio.
We're so excited for you to hear our brand new podcast, Señora Sex Ed.
Listen to Señora Sex Ed on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I will share with you that my parents have asked me, my mother owns a yoga studio, and one of her students was in the midst of transitioning and was talking to her about it. They know that her daughter is queer and so, you know, readily more, you know, accepting than other people. And my parents were just like, you know, help us understand. Help us understand and be better in terms of how we talk and have conversations around this idea of trans, non-binary, and what have you. And what I appreciate about that is that, like, my parents are boomers. And for them, they were socialized in a kind of way. But because their daughter is queer, they're much more expansive in their thinking. And so how do you utilize these different stories to kind of move people who are seemingly assumed to be rigid in their thinking, but they literally just don't know, right? They just want, they want more access to language. They want more access to stories so that they can begin to wrap their minds around how our society has shifted over the last, you know, several decades.
I think that question is really at the heart of some of the research and some of the questions we wanted to answer ourselves in putting together this campaign and this narrative framework. We have been working with Ground Media on this project for years. GLAAD and Ground Media worked together on a video campaign 2 years ago, and they've been just a joy to work with, and they have been spearheading a lot of the research and also the production. So if you see the videos and you're like, wow, this is wonderfully made, that is all thanks to Ground Media. But your question about, like, how do we, with seemingly well-meaning audiences, how do we help close that gap, that knowledge gap, that experience gap, in a way that's not like, you're terrible, we hate you because you got this thing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a lot of what this research has been targeted on, is what are the necessary components in a story being told by a trans person in 30 or 60 seconds that can effectively communicate their transness and why people should care. And so our hypothesis with this really was on the theme of trans truth, which is being trans is a real thing. It's not contagious. It's not communicable. It's not a whim, that being trans is as inherent a part of my identity as so many other things, as being Jewish, as I played college hockey, so I will always identify as a hockey player. And being trans is an inherent, immutable part of my identity. And so we came at this trying to speak to audiences who were undecided about their opinion of trans people. So we asked audiences, we did a huge survey before we started, do you think society has gone too far or not far enough in their support of transgender people? And what we identified as the movable or winnable middle were people who responded in the 3 to 7 on a 1 to 10 scale. So the way I think about this is, have you ever seen Olympic diving?
I love Olympic diving, actually, but yes, go ahead.
Oh my gosh, my body does not move like that.
I don't understand how they enter the water with no splash, but that's beside the point.
Yeah. In Olympic diving, they throw out, you get 7 scores and the judges throw out the highest and lowest score. So you're only evaluated on the middle 5. And that is who our target audience is for this campaign. It's also how I try to live my life. Like, some people are gonna think I'm greater than sliced bread and they are wrong. And some people are gonna think I'm worse than a paper cut and they are also wrong. And the more that I spin my wheels trying to change the opinions of those on the margins, the more time I'm getting disheartened and dissuaded by what I'm seeing or what I'm not seeing. So you were talking about parents, we're boomers. And the way that we identified this winnable middle audience is based on this question of, do you think society has gone too far or not far enough in their support of trans people? And when we looked closer at who was in this segment, we see people from across the political spectrum. We see people who have varied ages, who live all over the country with different levels of income and education. And so by cutting this according to issue and not according to political party or political ideology, we're able to cast a much wider net in who the people are that we're trying to move. And before we ask people to do something different, to behave differently around trans people, to practice better allyship tips, to do their own research before we're asking the trans people that we meet about their identity and their lives, we need to change how people think about trans people. And our guess was that if we can show people, show audiences that being trans is, as you said, just another part of someone's identity, are they more or less likely to support a friend or a family member who's trans, a child who's trans? And sort of tertiarily, are they more likely to support policies that benefit trans people? And across the board, our research is showing that yes to all of these things, that if we can change how audiences think and understand trans people in 30 or 60 seconds, we see a positive increase in how likely people are to accept a friend, a family member, a child, an acquaintance who's transgender, and an increase in their support for policies that affect trans people, all by just talking about trans people as people who have hobbies and jobs and families and lives and love and goals like everyone else.
Yeah, because I think that, look, the opposition knows this, that if I feed you enough stereotypes, if I feed you enough fear, then I too can shift how you're thinking about people as people, right? I too can feed you this steady diet of dehumanization so that when it comes time to vote on said policy or to vote on said measure, that's the narrative that's going to be stuck in your mind. And so what you're doing with this campaign is a disruption, because in the absence of being able to provide people from their perspective and give them voice and platform to tell their own stories, then their stories are told for them. And we know that when those stories are told for them, they're told in the negative.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain, but those experiments are the most important scientific discoveries of the time.
I'm Evan Ratliff. Last season, we tackled the ingenuity of Elon Musk with biographer Walter Isaacson. This time, we're diving into the story of Benjamin Franklin, another genius who's desperate to be dusted off from history.
His media empire makes him the most successful self-made business person in America. I mean, he was never early to bed and early to rise type person. He's enormously famous. Women start wearing their hair in what was called the coiffure a la Franklin.
And who's more relevant now than ever?
The only other person who could have possibly been the first president would have been Benjamin Franklin. But he's too old and wants Washington to do it.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you feel about biscuits? Hi, I'm Akilah Hughes, and I'm so excited about my new podcast, Rebel Spirit, where I head back to my hometown in Kentucky and try to convince my high school to change their racist mascot, the Rebels, into something everyone in the South loves, the biscuits.
I was a lady rebel. Like, what does that even mean?
I mean, the Boone County Rebels will stay the Boone County Rebels, but the image of...
It's right here in black and white in print. A lion.
An individual that came to the school saying that God sent him to talk to me about the mascot switch is a leader. You choose hills that you want to die on.
Why would we want to be the losing team? That just take all the other stuff out of it.
On segregation academies, when civil rights said that we need to integrate public schools, these charter schools were exempt from that.
Bigger than a flag or mascot.
You have to be ready for serious backlash.
Listen to Rebel Spirit on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is summer, and on NPR's Planet Money podcast, that means it is time to grab your notebooks and your headphones and tune in to the economics crash course for your ears. Planet Money Summer School is covering the economic history of the world, from the birth of money to the Industrial Revolution to modern trade policy. We've got the lessons to keep you sounding smart at the beach with help from real economic historians. Every Wednesday until Labor Day, listen to Planet Money from NPR on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, everyone. I am Lacey Lamar.
And I'm Amber Ruffin, a better Lacey Lamar.
Boo.
Okay, everybody, we have exciting news to share. We're back with season two of the Amber and Lacey, Lacey and Amber show on Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network. You thought you had fun last season? Well, you were right. And you should tune in today for new fun segments like Sister Court and listening to Lacey's steamy DMs.
We've got new and exciting guests like Michael Beach. That's my husband. Daphne Spring. Daniel Thrasher, Peppermint, Morgan J, and more. You gotta watch us.
No, you mean you have to listen to us. I mean, you can still watch us, but you gotta listen. Like, if you're watching us, you have to tell us. Like, if you're out the window, you have to say, hey, I'm watching you outside of the window. Just, you know what? Listen to the Amber and Lacey, Lacey and Amber show on Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Guess what, Mango?
What's that, Will?
So iHeart is giving us a whole minute to promote our podcast, Part-Time Genius.
I know. That's why I spent my whole week composing a haiku for the occasion. It's about my emotional journey in podcasting over the last 7 years, and it's called Earthquake House.
Mango, I'm going to cut you off right there. Why don't we just tell people about our show instead?
Yeah, that's a better idea. So every week on Part-Time Genius, we feed our curiosity by answering the world's most important questions. Things like, when did America start dialing 911? Is William Shatner's best acting work in Esperanto? Also, what happened to Esperanto?
Plus, we cover questions like how Chinese is your Chinese food? How do dollar stores stay in business? And of course, is there an Illuminati of cheese?
There absolutely is, and we are risking our lives by talking about it. But if you love mind-blowing facts, incredible history, and really bad jokes, make your brains happy and tune in to Part-Time Genius.
Listen to Part-Time Genius on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shane, with the couple of minutes that we have left, as we're several weeks away from the most consequential election in our lives, what do you want people to think about when they are voting? What do you want them to think about when they're voting with regard to, you know, there have been 500 plus anti-trans bills that have popped up across this country. There's been so much in terms of trying to dehumanize and denigrate this population. What is it that you're hoping that this campaign will bring to mind as people are voting for, you know, the future?
Casual question to end us on.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
I love it. I truly believe that we are all capable of good and of love. I don't think people are good people or bad people. I think we are people who are full of a myriad of sometimes conflicting beliefs or ideas. But I believe that we all think that we're good people. And one of the things that this campaign is really trying to disrupt is those among us who believe they're good people, who believe they have good intentions, who believe they're doing the right thing, and still hold anti-transgender or anti-LGBTQ beliefs. And part of this work is showing that those two things, you know, you can't necessarily have all the values that you think you have and also believe in discrimination. And trans people we are the lowest on the food chain in terms of privilege and access and rights. And when we all have equal rights and equal protections, it benefits everyone. And that starts with those of us on the margins or who hold intersectional identities. We need to focus on those of us on the margins, lifting all of us up. And that's how we achieve equitable, just societies. So as people are coming into this election, there is so much discord around this candidate or that candidate, and people who are saying, I don't like either candidate, and so I'm going to vote this other way. And so what I ask people to do when we go into the election is not only to think about how the results of this election are going to affect your life, but how are the results of this election going to affect the lives of those that you love?
Yep.
Because there are two very, very different possible outcomes. And a number of people in this country will not be affected dramatically one way or the other. But for the majority of us, that's not the case. And so if you're coming into the election and you're thinking about how you're going to vote, think about those in your community that you love. And also just please vote. You know, I think we had like 40% of registered voters or people of voting age in 2020 who didn't vote. And that can decide the election. So if you're not registered to vote, please register to vote. It varies by state. And vote early and vote often if you can, because this is our bed, and we got to make it, and then we got to sleep in it. We can't do this by ourselves.
Yeah. Shane, thank you so much for your work. It is extremely important. And thank you very much for making the time for Woke AF. Really appreciate this and your conversation.
Danielle, this has been a true joy. Thank you. And for all the listeners, the campaign can be found at hereweareNow.com. You can see videos and stories from Nadia, Gio, and Ashton as they sit down with their families and talk about what it means to be trans and what it means to love trans people, which is not all that different from, I'm guessing, many of our own lives.
That is it for me today, dear friends, on Woke AF. As always, power to the people and to all the people power. Get woke and stay woke as fuck.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain.
Benjamin Franklin is our subject for a new season with Walter Isaacson.
He's the most successful self-made business person in America.
A printer, a scientist, founding father, but maybe not the guy we think we know.
Franklin casts his lot on the side of revolution, and it's another thing that splits the family apart.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you feel about biscuits? Hi, I'm Akilah Hughes, and I'm so excited about my new podcast, Rebel Spirit, where I head back to my hometown in Kentucky and try to convince my high school to change their racist mascot, the Rebels, into something everyone in the South loves, the biscuits.
I was a lady Rebel. Like, what does that even mean?
It's right here in black and white in print, so they lie.
Bigger than a flag or mascot.
Listen to Rebel Spirit on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's good? It's Colleen Witt, and Eating While Broke is back for Season 3, brought to you by the Black Effect Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. We're serving up some real stories and life lessons from people like Van Lathan, DC Youngfly, Bone Thugs and Harmony, and many more. They're sharing the dishes that got them through their struggles and the wisdom they gained along the way. We're cooking up something special, so tune in every Thursday. Listen to Eating While Broke on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Back in 1969, four young musicians from Texas were hired to impersonate the British psychedelic rock band The Zombies. It was one of the most bizarre and audacious cons in rock and roll history. And now, the entire story has been uncovered in a new podcast. All episodes are available now. Listen to the true story of the fake zombies on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search True Story of the Fake Zombies and start listening.
Kay hasn't heard from her sister in 7 years.
I have a proposal for you. Come up here and document my project. All you need to do is record everything like you always do.
What was that?
That was live audio of a woman's nightmare.
Can Kay trust her sister, or is history repeating itself?
There's nothing dangerous about what you're doing.
They're just dreams.
Dream Sequence is a new horror thriller from Blumhouse Television, iHeartRadio, and Realm. Listen to Dream Sequence on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.